Amen. Amen. Are you all right? Glory to God. Say hello to somebody. Welcome them to church. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Had a good time last week? That's good. You want a good time this week? Good. We'll have it. Praise the Lord. I want to talk on just change tactic this morning. We were talking on, what were we talking about? Missions. All right. Have a look at Psalm 25. Hallelujah. And verse 4, very familiar scripture, and we'll start from there. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we share your word. We pray for your anointing, revelation, and insight, Lord God, into your mind. Lead us by your Spirit and guide us, Lord God. Grant us utterances in the Holy Ghost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths and lead me in your truth. Show me, teach me and lead me. He says, show me your ways and then teach me your paths. Make the paths of the Lord straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And then he says, lead me in your truth. Show me your ways. I want to just share a little bit on that, just one phrase there. Show me your ways. How does God do things? The Bible says, God revealed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Ways of God and the acts of God are not the same. But we love the acts of God. We love it when God demonstrates his grace and power. And we like that. But the Bible says, God revealed his ways to Moses. But his acts to the children of Israel. Everybody saw the acts of God, but the ways of God were revealed to Moses. Moses alone had an understanding of that. And David here says, show me your ways. Hallelujah. And then teach me your paths. I want to share just an aspect of the ways of God. See, the ways of God is how God does things. We know that God can heal, but how does he do it and why does he do it? Why does God heal and how does he do it? When does he do it? Show me your way. How do you do this thing? Hallelujah. Now the ways of God are not some secrets that God is hidden away from you and I. If God revealed his ways to Moses, the Bible says that John the Baptist is the greatest prophet that ever lived. That includes Moses. And then he said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. What does that mean? The least born again saint who has the kingdom in them is greater than John. So every one of us in that sense is a candidate to know the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord is a skill that you have to learn to know. It has to do with your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. So now that we got out of the way, how does God do things? One of the things that God does things that you know, you think you don't know, but you know, is God deals with us in seasons. Now somebody said, do you like the rain? What season is it in? What season are we in? See, we think God's way is something magical out there. When God deals with us, including the non-Christians. And Jesus said in his challenge to the Pharisees and the people of his day, you read the skies, and from the skies you know what's going to happen tomorrow. And then he said, look at the fig tree. Now what's a fig tree? The fig tree is a fig tree. The fig tree is also Israel. Now how many of you are looking there? We are just looking at our own patch. How are we going to get tomorrow's groceries? How are we going to do this? But look to the fig tree. Hello? You got a fig tree? Well, look to it. Hallelujah. Are you all right? One day, Jesus was going by and he saw a fig tree in the sea, in the distance. He said, and he stopped to have a fig, but there were no figs. The Bible says, because it was not the season for figs. Now, in the natural, we know the seasons in our lives. We know that we are at the end of summer, going into what? Autumn. Now we know that. Nobody needs to tell us that. We know that because we've been through it every year. But when we come to spiritual matters, sometimes God does not tell you what season you're in. You have to discern it. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, seasons are ordained by God. And seasons began with God. I'll just give you a few scriptures and then we'll get into it. Because it's not seasons I want to talk about. Hallelujah. And Genesis 1:14 says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Right from the beginning, God ordained seasons in our lives. Hallelujah. Have a look at Genesis chapter 8. Verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Seasons will never cease until day and night are finished. So we go through these seasons in our lives, and the times and the seasons are in the hands of the Lord. Are you okay? It's very basic. You have to be educated to forget this. Are you all right? Ecclesiastes, very famous scripture, chapter 3. He says, to everything there is a season. To everything. Everything includes your life. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun, under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. I sat with a dying saint in the middle of the night last night. And we had a talk, and he's chirpy. He said, I know one thing. Jesus is faithful to his promises. That man knows he's dying. He wants me to do his funeral. I said, don't die yet. I'm going to the Philippines. He said, I'll agree with you. I said, wait until I come back. The doctors gave him a few days. I said, don't die yet. But the Bible says death is part of the seasons of our lives. And yet, when it comes to death, many of us shy away. Why? Because we are not made to die. Death entered the scene because of sin, and the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. Hallelujah. But it says, everything, there is a purpose. To everything, there is a purpose, and a time for every season, everything there's a season, and a time for every purpose under the sun. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 2 says, God changes the seasons. Timothy said to Paul, Paul said to Timothy, you'll have to excuse me, I'm just getting into it, alright? Paul said to Timothy, if you preach and when you preach, you need to preach in season and out of season. You need to exhort, encourage, but you also need to rebuke. Now, many times in a season of rebuke, we don't like that. Many people leave that season to go find a season of encouragement. Are you okay? But we need that. The Bible says, a man that takes rebuke is honored. You are honored if you're rebuked. Only bastards are not rebuked. That's what the scriptures say. So when you're rebuked and corrected, it is an honor if you respond in the right spirit. But if you respond in the wrong spirit, you'll leave. Hello? Are you okay? Every season of your life is ordained by God. Even when you're sorrowful, the Bible says God will turn your sorrows into joy and your mourning into dancing. But sorrow is a season. It's a season in our lives. And if we know that God ordained that, then we can handle it because everything has a season and everything has a purpose. Hallelujah. Many times we miss the purpose of our season because we are not there. Are you okay? Your winter does not last forever. But when you're in the middle of the winter, we think it's eternal. Nothing is eternal but God. Now, there are people who come to church. They come to the Lord because you've got a need. And if you have a need, the answer is Jesus. But many times when they are waiting for their need to be met, leave again and go out there somewhere where their need will never be met. They come back 4 years later with the same need. Hello? They can't wait to have it met, so they leave again. And 40 years down the line, they still got the same need. Why? Because when the season comes for you to hang on, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. The farmer is patient, waiting for the former and the latter rain, so that he can offer to God a sacrifice. Many of us never wait for our rain. Hello? Are you alright? The Bible says between Adam and Noah it didn't rain, because there was no man to cultivate the earth. The Bible says in the time of Elijah, there was no rain, but he prayed in the rain. Sometimes the rain does not come because no one is there to cultivate the soil of the hearts. And you're waiting for rain, but you don't like the spade of the man that cultivates the soil. Sometimes the rain does not come because we don't lay hold of God and ask God for rain in the time of the latter rain. Many times your rain is coming, but you come with a need to God and you ask God, rain it right now. How many know in the middle of the winter you can't ask God for summer? You know that naturally. You know that. You don't ask God summer now. And yet when it comes to our season, our personal seasons, we never want winter. We want God to summer, summer, summer. How many know we just need rain right now? Why? Because a life of summer only, a life of summer only may be very, very good in the beginning when the harvest is there, but you keep the sun coming every day of the harvest, the sun will kill the harvest. And yet many Christians, well, I like harvest. Well, bless your darling heart, it's stupid head. But we know that in the middle of the winter, we never pray for summer. And in the middle of the summer, you don't go find a prayer meeting. Let's ask God for winter. You know you can't do it. You have to hang on. Hang on. Your rain is coming. Hang on. Your summer is coming. Hang on. Hallelujah. That's simple. Are you okay? And I've seen people come to God. I know their personal circumstances. And they come to the altar. And they strain God. God. They come the next Sunday. And it is good. They ought to. And then 3 Sundays, 4 Sundays later, they're gone. That's, where is so-and-so? They wanted God to just descend right there and then. Hello? Have you ever lived in the, and everything you touch fall down on the ground? It doesn't matter what you do. You touch anything, it falls on the ground. He said, God, if you listen quietly, you know what God's going to say? There's nothing happening, dear. It's just winter. That's all. It's just another season in life. And you need this season where things fall down. You need a winter where you rest and dig deep into the ground. Because when you come out of winter, you need the strength to carry the fruit. Are you all right? And when harvest comes, it's amazing. You don't even pray and somebody gets healed. You cough and somebody falls down under the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what you do. It's almost magical because things just begin to bloom and happen. And it's like, this is great. And then it changes again. And it doesn't matter what you do. You spit on somebody and they don't even fall. What's wrong? It's just winter, spring, summer, fall. And we know that naturally. But when it comes to our lives spiritually, we have to discern what God is doing. Now, how many know if you are in the winter and you meet somebody who's in the summer? It's terrible. You're going through your winter and you just met somebody who's going through their summer and they think there's something wrong with you. And you also think you want to punch the guy in the face. Why? Because you are in different seasons of your life. One is harvesting, the other one is trying to live. But every season in your life has a lesson. Every season in your life has a purpose. And if we would know that, that regardless of what's going on in my life, God still works for my good. All things work for the good of those that love the Lord, those who are the called according to His purpose. And regardless of the season in our lives, God has a purpose in it, and we need to learn the lesson of that season. Why? Because in learning it, you can minister more powerfully and effectively. As Paul said, the only reason I can comfort the way I comfort is because in my dilemma, God comforted me. Many people never know how to comfort because they've never been through a season of pain. When you've been through a season of pain, you can identify with the pain of those that are in pain. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Guess what? That's God's way. That's the way of God. God does things in seasons. And when you have a, hallelujah. When you have rain sometimes, or when it's winter and you ask for summer, God may give you half a day of summer, and it's called Indian summer. Not a fault of the Indians. It's just our slogan. Something out of the norm. Are you okay? I'll come back to that, but have a look at Psalm 77. You look in the Bible, and this winter is in the Bible. Paul said to Timothy, come before winter. Bring my coat. Obviously, he needed a coat. How many know in winter you put on a coat? The Bible is very practical. Yet in our winter seasons, in our own lives, when it's winter, we want a bikini. Put on a coat. How many know it's ridiculous to walk down in the middle of the winter, snow falling in a bikini? Are you all right? Now, we shared this before, and I'll share it again because you've forgotten. Verse 19, your way was in the sea. Your path, remember what our scripture, our opening scripture, show me your ways and teach me your paths. It says, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's just look at that last verse. You led your people like a flock through the hand of Moses and Aaron. How does God lead people? Through other people. For a little while ago, there was a huge theology who says, no leadership, everybody's the same. That's not even in the Bible. It's like saying, everyone from now on are shoulders, no head, and none of the rest of the body. Just same. How does God lead? Through other people. God still leads But he does it through other people. Those that God has called. Most of the time when God calls leadership, you know what we do with them? Cut their heads off. Are you all right? Well, I only listen to the Spirit of God. Well, bless your darling heart. You know what John said? How can you say you love God that you can't even see, and you hate your brother that you can see? He said, that's a lie. You can't be led by the Holy Ghost and not be led by people. That's a lie. Now, in your own life at home, you're led by the Holy Ghost. But not everybody, we can't be all prime ministers. Why? Because somebody has to lead the nation. Are you okay? Just God's ways. Now, if I look at verse 19, somebody read it. Your way is in the sea, and your path is in the great waters, and your footsteps are not known. What does that mean? Your way is in the sea. That means you have to go to the sea to find out. The Bible says those that go down to the great seas will see the Lord. Have you ever been to the sea lately? Are you okay? So there is something in the sea that teaches us God's ways and teaches us the paths of God. Have you ever been diving? If you haven't, you've seen people diving on the TV screen. When a trevally goes through, a trevally, you know what a trevally is? It's a fish. Most Maoris know what a trevally is. But when the trevally goes through the sea, it doesn't leave a trail. You don't go there, yes. Tomorrow said, hey, a trevally went through here yesterday. No, you don't. His footsteps are not known. Now, when a ship is in the sea, one of the things that marveled Solomon was this. He said, I don't know the way of a man to a mate. Hallelujah. I don't know the way of a serpent on the rock, of the devil on Jesus. All right. I don't know the way of the eagle in the air, and I don't know the way of the ship in the sea. If you say, well, I know the way. No, you don't. See, when a ship goes, the ship actually breaks the waters. It breaks it open. But when you look back, the water is closed. It doesn't leave a gap. It's the same way with a trevally. It doesn't leave a trail. Are you okay? And the ways of God are like that. What happened last week is fantastic. What happens this week is fantastic. What happens sometimes, a song can bring us to the presence of the Lord. The next week, you sing the same song 1,000 times. It doesn't bring us to the presence of the Lord. Why? Because God has changed the song. God does not leave a trail. You have to find the key song for this week. God closes the sea. What opened the sea last week is not going to open the sea this week. Are you all right? Now, in Samoa, there are no summer, winter, and spring and fall. In Samoa, it's just one season. But in the middle of that one season, I mean, the temperature is between 28 and 32 right through the year. That's it. But in that year, you have a season of rain. There is a season where you're most likely to have a hurricane. And hurricanes hit at that season. And in the Bible, Paul said to the crew of the ship that was in Laodicea, they said, let us winter here because I perceive the trip is with much pain. And they decided to sail. And when they sail, Paul said, it's a time for that storm to come. And if we go now, we might hit that storm. Guess what? They hit it right in the middle. Now, in Samoa, between October and about February, it's a season where you're most likely to have a storm. So when you get to that season, everybody knows. And while the temperature may be static, there are still seasons there. There's seasons when the winds come. There's a huge river in the other island called Savai. That river is shockingly powerful when it breaks, when it floods. But the amazing thing is, that river may flood in the middle of the summer. But you know it's going to flood by the direction of the wind. There may not be a cloud in the sky, but the moment that wind change, that river, sure as God make little green apples, that river will flood. Why? Because the change in the wind. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So you have these seasons in our lives in Asia. You have the monsoon season. And when it's dry, they know it's dry. But they also know the monsoon is coming. Are you okay? So you have these seasons in the scriptures. The Bible says that a man that sleeps in the summer is not very wise. Because summer is time to harvest. Benaiah went down to a pit in the middle of the snow and killed a lion. That was a winter experience. Even in your winter experience, you can still slaughter your lions if you understand your season. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Amen. Now, this is what I was going to talk about. We went right through that just to give you an introduction on what I want to talk about. And what I want to talk about is changing seasons. What happens between one season and another? Hallelujah. Because many times many of us don't like the transitioning, and yet it is part of our lives. We don't like change. Yet if you are yielded to the purposes of God, then change is the only thing that we have. There's only one person who never changed. God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. God is the same winter, spring, summer, and fall. But for you and I, everyone has to change. And when God changes the seasons, we don't like it. And we manufacture a season to our likeness, or we migrate. Now, many people migrate in season. Some migrate in the will of God. Some migrate out of the will of God. It was in a season of famine that Elimelech and Ruth migrated, and they migrated to Moab. They migrated out of the will of God. You know, when you're looking at the birds of the air, that when the seasons change, they migrate from one side of the planet to another. It's part of changing season that people migrate. Just understand that when you migrate in between seasons, you could be migrating out of the will of God. On the other hand, when you migrate because the season has changed, you're doing exactly what God tells you to do. You just have to discern that this is a season, because in season, when it changes, we migrate. As Paul said to the crew of the ship, let's not go now. The fast is over. It's normally this time that storm comes. If we go now, it could be with much damage. Let's not migrate right now. Let's wait. Now, not everybody migrates in season because God don't want you to. But you need to adjust yourself because God is changing the season. Our problem is when we do something and it's not come to the end of the season, or our season in a space is changed, we still want to occupy that space, and you occupy it at the wrong time. All you're going to have is pain. Because you want to occupy something where God said your season here is finished and you still want to stay there. Well, you can stay there, but if the cloud has moved, then you can stay there. Guess what? You have no manna, you have no water, you have no presence, you have no fire, and you have no cloud. Why? Because God has moved and He wants you to move with Him. And if you just dig in your heels and say, well, this is my space, then you can stay there, be full of pain. Not only are you a pain to yourself, you're a pain to everybody else. Hallelujah. So when your season in a space God gives to you is finished, move with God. You know, there's a time to die. The Bible says there's a time to plug up. There's a time to dismantle rocks. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Are you okay? Hallelujah. There's a place in Indonesia where God moved so powerfully for many, many years. And because He did, they expected God to do that all the time. And for many, 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 many years, the move of God stopped and they were praying for them. And the reason is they never trust that anybody that comes will ever touch the pinnacle of what they used to have. I mean, after you raise the dead every week, what else do you look for? And anybody that comes has to start with raising the dead. And if they can't raise the dead, so they were left in this quandary, despondent, because they think that because God had done it, God will continue to do it. He took a Kiwi pastor to go there, and God began to move again. And they came flocking. And He asked them, what happened? And that's what they said. After you raise the dead every week, what else do you? So we never trust anybody will be as powerful enough as it used to be, because they need to start with just raising the dead. They did not like the fact that God may have changed the season. Why does God raise the dead? Can God raise the dead? Why doesn't He do it every day? Does He lack power? No. Why? Because it's seasons. One day, the dead are going to be raised. Why? It'll be the fullness of time. The season has come. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, Christ died for the ungodly. In the fullness of time, Christ was born. Now, the problem is, we are waiting for God to resurrect the dead. And it's a long time waiting. And we think, where is God? I'm glad Noah stuck with it. Now, how many miracles did Noah have? Nothing. And yet he is our example of somebody that was tenacious in holding on to the purpose of God. Never got a convert. I mean, how poor a preacher can you be when you never get a convert and you preach for 120 years? And there were people around every day, including the animals, but none of them got saved. And yet the Bible says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And like Chris said, when God closed the door, thank God he's not a Maori. Because they're, oh, kazi, okay, come in. Are you all right? There's going to be a day when the door of the ark is going to close. And it's not us that closes it. When the season's finished, done. Are you all right? So one of the things that happen in between seasons is that people migrate. People migrate, some in the will of God, some outside of the will of God. In between season, people stay in their space when God has asked them to vacate. If you stay in your space, you stay there with pain. Now, God may tell you to stay. But when your season is finished, migrate with God. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Secondly, when God changes the season, everything becomes unstable. And you're trying to stabilize. Hey, what's going on? And you come to a service one Sunday and God fell on the place. You come to the service one Sunday and said, what happened last week? And what happened? We tried to dig up the service. What's happening? God is changing the seasons. And it's possible you can have four seasons in between seasons. You go up, down, up, down, up, down. Summer, winter, spring and fall. But it's just, you know, it just goes. What's happening? God's changing the season. Are you all right? Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, when God's changing season, you may do a whole lot of things that you should not be able to do, or you shouldn't do. Like sitting on a foldback speaker. Now, how many, ask you a question. Can I sit on it? Yes. Is it made for me to sit on? No. But I can sit on it because you are going from one place to another. You're transitioning. And in transitioning, you do things that you will not normally do. Now, this speaker is not made as a chair. It can be used as a chair, but it can only be used as a chair temporarily as you transit from one season to another. How many know that bathrooms, the bathtub is for bathing, having a bath? How many know when you change houses and you're packing up the old house, you may put a chainsaw in the bath? Is that right? Now, the bathtub was not made to put chainsaw in it. But why do you put it? Because you're in transition. God is changing the season. Are you all right? Yesterday, my wife said to me, "Can you put these blankets up there?" You know what I used to stand on? The side bed lampstand and a chair. Then I reach up, put the stuff in. Now, how many know the chair's not for that and the side, but you're doing something and it's not going to be permanent. So in between season is probably one of the most unstable times of your life. People will say, "Are you all right? Are you pregnant or something?" When a lady is pregnant, they're different. You think they've got, you think the next thing is they're going to have fangs coming out. Why? Because they're transitioning in season. You know what they say? In the middle of the night, "Can I have some fish and chips?" She does not care that there's no fish and chips shops open anymore. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, what's the matter? She's changing seasons. She's carrying new life. Something is, I was going to say drastically, something has changed. Her makeup is different. Why? She's in transition. The seasons of her life are changing. Hallelujah. We got a friend. We got two friends. I think we've got more than one friend, but these two friends I want to use to illustrate what I'm saying. One of them, when she's pregnant, she will eat kiwi fruit until her lips are cracked. And she just craves. What's the problem? Her life seasons are changing. The other one eats nugget. Now, how many know nugget is not for eating? It's for polishing shoes. What's the matter? Her seasons are changing. Now, when winter is fully come, you know it's winter. When summer is fully come, you know it's summer. But between winter and summer is a very unchanging, unstable time of your life. And many people can't hang on. When you know the ways of God, then you know that in changing seasons, when things, so one day things will work just fine. Next day you're so late for stuff, you don't know what to do. Why? Season is being changed. Who controls it? Not you. God. Is this all right? Amen. Now, many of you will have to discern now where you're at. And some of you, Mrs. Stevens, behave yourself. Some of you have just, it's just like somebody switch a light on in your head. Dong, dong, dong. You all of a sudden understood something. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some of you were going to curse, but just now you're going to praise. Why? Because all of a sudden, God has lit something in your life. Where you were in darkness, God turns the light on. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, if that's you, you can stand where you are. Your light has just come on. If you're sitting close to one of those people, just turn around or move to the side and just lay your hand on them and pray for them and give God thanks for revelation. Show me, show me, show me, show me. What is that? Revelation. Show me your way. Teach me your paths and lead me in your truth. Show me. Hallelujah. And pray for them. Tears endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. A number here will pray for you. I'll ask you to come to the altar and we'll minister to you. But you're stumped because of guilt. Something happened, whether it was many years ago or just a few days ago. But the enemy has kept reminding you and hammering you and hammering you on that thing. Until you almost can't go forward because of the guilt of what happened in the past. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. God takes our mistakes and take our sin and drown it in the sea of His forgetfulness. God does not remind you of it. The only person that reminds you of it is the devil. If that's you, I want you to come to the front. Somebody will pray for you. But you can't move forward because you keep on hammered, being hammered by the enemy about guilt. And the guilt stops you. I want you to come. Yes, it's done, but put it under the blood and don't let the accuser of the brethren just keep accusing you of that. Hallelujah. I want those that normally minister at the altar to come and just pray for them. And put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And then forget it. Where the devil reminds you, you remind him. Hallelujah. We stand together. We'll sing He is Lord.